From 1,400 square miles in northeastern Pennsylvania came the power that fueled the industrial age in America. Anthracite has been taken from the ground for more than 200 years. It broke the dependency on overseas coal and manufacturing, promoted the building of the first canals and railroads, and gave birth to sprawling companies with enormous economic and political power. At its peak, America's first gigantic industry was mining 100 million tons a year and employed over 180,000 workers. The coal companies formed the United States' first cartel, executed the first price fixing. Many had their own worker housing and company stores, hired their own police forces. King Coal dominated every aspect of life in this region, cultural, political, social, environmental, and physical. The social fabric was sewn through with layers of immigrants seeking work in the mines who went on to unionize and fought the companies in the most dangerous occupation of the day. In 1999, author and photographer Ed Dogert began the Blackland Project, a photographic journey seeking to capture the legacy of anthracite coal mining in the northeast Pennsylvania region. The project would take Dogert to obscure places whose austere landscapes and broken buildings contained the last remnants of an industry that ushered in the industrial age and left its mark indelibly on those 1,400 square miles. This is WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with photographer Ed Dogert, whose photo documentary project, The Blackland, Remnants of the Once Great Anthracite Coal Industry of Northeast Pennsylvania, is the newest offering at the Nurture Nature Center in Easton, running January 13th through March 30th, and with Carrie Maxfield, the art director at the Nurture Nature Center. Thank you, Ed and Carrie, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Messing around a little here with Zoom. We're improving our technical skills, folks. Ed, one of my first questions on seeing the work online, some of the work online at your website, theblackland.com, was what inspired you back in 1999? I mean, this is an enormous project. It's been a long journey. How did it start? Why?
Well, I do have family roots, specifically in Schuylkill County. Mm. And my oldest brother was born in Shenandoah. And then my parents moved down after the end of World War II. So I spent a lot of time in the area visiting relatives when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then further into my teens, when I was interested in outdoor activities, I continued to visit the area. But to answer your question a little more deeply in terms of photography, I always felt that in order to attempt a project of this longevity, you have to have two things. One is you have to have an emotional investment into the subject matter. And the second is you have to have repeated access. Hmm. And those two qualifications were fulfilled by linking that to my roots, so to speak. And that's pretty much the answer. That's how I got hooked into it.
It's interesting because one of the things that struck me, and we'll talk about that a little more later with the photos themselves, is how there are no people in any of the photos I can see, and yet they vibrate with a kind of memory and energy and presence to me of the lives that have been lived there. So it felt very emotional to look at them, actually.
Well, if I could just comment on that.
Yeah.
The project up to this point really involved a historical perspective or reflection on the history of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And those three rooms in the Nurture Nature Center have elements of the first three sections. And the fourth section, which I'm working on now, is actually involved with portraiture of current residents of the area.
Oh, that's interesting. How does that feel different than working with the other photos of landscape, architecture, you know, the community? How does it feel to be working with actual residents right now?
Well, the impact and the history of the anthracite mining has a darkness to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that doing portraiture will allow me to shift a little bit and give the project more of a positive feeling and positive for the future of the area. Mm-hmm. So I want to photograph people who are not negatively impacted, but people who are working for a more positive, constructive future in the area. people were working to improve the housing conditions, for example. People who are working like Blasher Cole in Monty City, who are doing tremendous work with recovering and landfilling and recovering and reclaiming land and planting vegetation that is thriving on that land.
Now, I was going to say, it's interesting looking at the photographs that I expected to see. We drive through communities, you know, we travel, we drive through a town, we see the architecture, whatever. I had not given such great thought to how much the actual landscape is still changed, scarred, kind of wearing the imprint of the coal age. It was really kind of stark and startling.
Well, a lot of times, if you stand on the main roads, you only see like a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. But if you get off on the side roads and even the unpaved roads, I think it has even a greater impact. And I tried to capture some of that.
And just real quickly, Carrie, I also wanted to ask you with Nurture Nature Center. I think it's brilliant that this is being shown there. What attracted you to this project particularly? Where did this fit in with the mission or the sense of what Nurture Nature is doing?
Well, Nurture Nature is a center that is dedicated to engaging the public in learning about environmental risks. And one day I went to the mail and got this really amazing packet that Ed put together with real photographs in my hands, like little gems, and a really good narrative from Ed about what the photographs and the project were about. So I just was instantly intrigued, and that started a conversation. And yes, my entry to the anthracite coal region is through the waterways and through the acid mine drainage issues. And that is the outflow of the acidic water from the mines. And as a person who volunteers in local watersheds, I had heard a lot about the work that's being done to reclaim the land, but never linked that to the scarred landscapes, the abandoned buildings, and really just the mass of land in Pennsylvania that was affected by this industry. Yeah, so I thought it was a natural fit for Nurture Nature Center.
And Nurture Nature Center, I've always been entranced by the commitment to the marriage, so to speak, or the mingling of art and science, the complementary nature of that, how each helps the other in terms of education, in terms of awareness, in terms of exploring. So I think it's interesting that it's photography taking us back to this sense of landscape and science. I was startled to see some of the statistics that, for instance, the landscape that's been impacted or that is, waste or been stripped or whatever, is a much larger landmass than the actual region initially was, the working coal mine area. So, Carrie, by the time the show is there, the exhibit will be open. I understand that it's quite sizable. It's spread out, as Ed was saying, over three rooms at Nurture Nature Center. Is this thematically set up?
Yes, that's correct. So there are four gallery spaces in Nurture Nature Center, and we've dedicated three of our spaces to this exhibit. It is broken down into three sections, which I'll let Ed explain to you. The exhibit will stay open until March 30th, and if you have missed the opening reception, the photographer will be giving a presentation and you'll have an excellent opportunity to view the exhibit on Saturday, February 10th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. If you did miss the opening, this would be a wonderful opportunity to hear more about the project and to view the exhibit.
That's wonderful. And Ed, the layout of the exhibit, again, I understand that it is thematic. Can you tell us a little bit about how that breaks out, what the three rooms represent in this journey, in this exploration?
Well, one room is dedicated to actual physical remnants. For example, I photographed a lot of the structures, including coal breakers and mine entrances and machinery that were actually left over and discarded from the mining operations. Much of that is no longer in existence. The portals have been closed by the Mine Bureau because of their danger. Hmm. The big breakers have been torn down. Going on to the next section, I concentrate on the architecture inside the villages and the towns as an attempt to explore the social economic history of the anthracite. A lot of those buildings, especially the churches, were built during the boom years, and they're quite ornate and beautiful. I illustrate the decline, the economic decline through the decline of the architecture. The social fabric that you had mentioned in the introduction can be seen in, for example, the firehouses that were often ethnically centered and the churches that were ethnically centered. For example, in Shenandoah, at one point there were 7 Catholic churches, and the residents didn't call them by the names other than call them by their ethnic affiliation. For example, you might go to the Italian church or you might go to the Irish church on Sunday. And the third room is exploration of the land and the municipalities using a panoramic aspect ratio on the pictures to try to show the broadness, the expanse of the impact of the coal mining operations. So those are the three subsections.
It's interesting because when you're talking about the impact on the land and the size of the impact, some of the photos looked like they could have been out west. As kind of, they felt like these very vast, open, raw landscapes. I'm also curious about your use of, I mean, it's interesting, black and white photography. It's so fitting for the subject matter. You also work in silver, gelatin print, traditional darkroom techniques. Why does that feel appropriate for this work for you?
For me, the difference between color and black and white is that when you look at a color print, it is always initially a representation of the subject matter. When you shift to black and white, it allows the photographer to do more of an interpretation rather than a representation. And I'm interested in my interpretation of the subject matter and to convey that interpretation to the viewer. The idea of using silver gelatin prints is, I feel that they're richer in grayscale and gray tone to the digital prints.
It's beautifully effective. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I'm talking with author and photographer Ed Dogert, whose photo documentary project, The Black Land, is showing at the Nurture Nature Center in Easton from January 13th through March 30th, and with Carrie Maxfield, art director for Nurture Nature Center. We'll be right back after this short break.
Everything is All REIT on Saturday morning and into the afternoon on All REIT Street. 2 hours of new releases from folk and blues to new grass and swing. Join me, Jeff Chambers, for a great musical mix plus artist interviews and historical notes on All REIT Street, Saturday at 11, right here on WDIY. All right, All REIT.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight I've been chatting with photographer Ed Dogert about his photo documentary project, The Black Land, Remnants of the Once Great Anthracite Coal Industry of Northeast Pennsylvania, currently at the Nurture Nature Center in Easton, and with the Nurture Nature Center's art director, Carrie Maxfield. So welcome back, guys. Before we went to our break, we were talking about the elements of the show and how it's kind of broken out and curated at the center. But during the break, we talked a little bit about, too, Ed, I think the sense of doing something like this project. This has been roughly 25 years for you. I have a couple of questions, not only about how it impacted you, but surely the detail and the info I see in the booklet accompanying the show, this is a lot of research involved. Was it a journey of discovery for you too, even though you have roots in the area? Was that part of what was the engine for you or that pulled you in?
Absolutely. I had an initial interest, but the further I worked on the project, the more I became involved with the research. And then the more I became involved with the research, it led me to new subject matter and an understanding that I had to represent certain aspects of the story. For example, I had to make an attempt to integrate something about the canal system that carried the coal. I had to integrate something about the initial use of rail lines to transport the coal. I wanted to put in something about the United Mine Workers and the unionization attempts. Mm-hmm. So the further I did research, the more subjects or sub-subjects that I realized I had to try to include. Now, the research also pointed me to locations. I have original documentation that goes back to the late 1800s, for example, with mine locations and things like that. And the research imparts emotion to you, the photographer, which then you try to integrate it into your work. And there's another benefit of the research. It allows you to talk intelligently to people who are going to assist you. There's a lot of amateur historians in the coal region. I can tell you, a fellow who showed me the canal system, he works for Pennsylvania Transportation Authority. You know, that's his day job, but he's an authority on the canals. Another fellow that I met in Minersville, he was an authority on railroads, but he had a regular day job. And these are the people that I really relied on and helped me form a network, which gave me access to subjects and to other people who could show me other locations.
It's fascinating because, as I said earlier, the photos are so, again, they document a history, but they feel so emotional to me and so full of presence and story. And it's interesting that although it was a hard life and it could be incredibly dangerous, and all the rest of that, that there's this instinct to preserve, to tell the story, to remember, to not let it fade away or disappear. Do you feel that that's part of what might have led you to the desire now to work with the community as it is today, as they move forward? You must feel like you've become sort of part of that flow forward yourself.
I wouldn't say I'm that conceited that I feel that much of impact. There have been a lot of very good photographers who have worked in the coal region. Louis Hind, famous Louis Hind, photographed the coal region. The Beckers, great German photographers, came and photographed coal tipples in Schuylkill County, and they published a whole book on it. George Bretz is a great historical photographer. George Harvin from Lansford,
yes,
whose archives are held at Binghamton University, was a great coal photographer. So I don't pretend to be that great or have that much of an impact, if you might say.
I would suggest to our listeners that they check out your website at theblackland.com just for a bit of a preview of a background and some of the photos. And I would argue that you're right up there with all of them. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, actually. I come from a mill town, steel country. And okay. It was very evocative to me, again, looking at the pictures. And I've had that experience visiting the coal region, that they're different industries slightly, but this sense of immigrants coming here, finding a way to build something they were proud of, owned, make a life that was very rich and diverse and supportive. And there's something haunting about, you know, that kind of energy. It's just wonderful to see the community trying to move forward and working for a future. Carrie, I also was struck when we were talking earlier about Nurture Nature Center, that talking about the impact on the land, the waterways, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Will this be kind of a jumping off point for Nurture Nature Center? I know that for our listeners, if you could give us a little bit of an overview, the center, you know, hosts exhibits, does workshops, education, but you're also involved with research, community awareness. How does this dovetail again into that? And could you tell us a little bit about what's upcoming at Nurture Nature Center?
Yeah, so at the Nurture Nature Center, we do community research, and we're presently working with local communities on NOAA, that's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration funded projects to build resiliency. As many of you know, we got our start here in Eastern Pennsylvania working with flood education. Communities around here are important waterways that do flood. So yes, it's very natural for us to have this exhibit, and we very potentially would have additional programming created that goes with Ed's exhibit. Coming up, we're planning in April for our 5th annual Youth Climate Summit of the Lehigh Valley, and that is Friday and Saturday, April 19th through 20th. And this is a summit that is designed to give middle and high school students a chance to develop as climate leaders. And also, we are starting, again, for an opening in April, our 7th year of Perspectives Art on Environment. And this year's theme for Perspectives is plastics. Perspectives is a project that harnesses the power of art to engage communities in various environmental topics. We have 27 partnering artists with us this year for an exhibit and a performance. Again, that will be also be in April. And if you go to our website at www.nurturenaturecenter.org, the landing page has quick links and calendar for events. If you are interested in, once again, visiting the gallery and seeing Ed's exhibit, we are open Wednesdays and Saturdays from noon to four. We're free and open to the public, and I encourage you to come out and see the exhibit.
That's wonderful. I would encourage our listeners to check out both Ed and Nurture Nature Center's websites. And again, the show The Black Land, a photo documentary project by Ed Dugert, will be running through March 30th. And the artist presentation will happen again, Carrie, right on Saturday, February 10th at the center.
From 1 to 2:30.
1 to 2:30. I just have to share a little quote here from the book. I can't help it. It's fascinating how many of the photos, with some of the info that Ed has supplied with them, again, making them quite personal, backstories of the spot or something that happened around it. But the quote on the cover, from a miner's tombstone, Hazleton, PA, 40 years I worked with pick and drill down in the mines against my will, the coal king's slave, but now it's past. Thanks be to God, I'm free at last. And it's just interesting the kind of level of human detail going along with these really stark, powerful images. Again, I congratulate you. So, Ed, before we go, and we could talk about this for ages, it's fascinating. I have for you, how has this process changed you? How has it impacted you? How are you different than when you began with it?
I'm a little poorer. I had applied for various grants and was unsuccessful, so I had to totally finance it by myself. But seriously, it sometimes has an emotional impact, and it's a little bit tiring emotionally. Mm. And so every once in a while, I would I take a little break and I concentrate on a different photography project, a brief photography project. So that's why you'll see in my website, you might see something like the portraiture, the studio portraiture or something like that, because I just need an emotional break from that subject matter.
And folks can inquire about purchasing prints at eddoug@juno.com. There's a gallery yes. that handles your work as well. Am I correct?
No, there is not. But you can inquire about specific prints through the website. It links right to my email.
And is there a book accompanying this? I had the impression that some of the photographs have been published as well.
Some of the photographs were published in 2002 by Schuylkill Living Press out of Pottsville. Mm. That volume is completely sold out and it's quite outdated right now, because that was at the inception of the project. Currently, there is no group publication of the project.
Okay. And as you work with the portraits, the next stage of this project, are you hoping to, the next step would be then to, if we were to go see the exhibit in a year or two, it would be four rooms this time?
I guess that would be up to Curry.
We do have four gallery spaces.
There you go. Well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you again. This is, again, The Black Land, Remnants of the Once Great Anthracite Coal Industry of Northeast Pennsylvania, a photo documentary project by Ed Dugert, showing at Nurture Nature Center in Easton, January 13th through March 30th, with a special presentation by the artist on Saturday, February 10th from 1 to 2:30. And again, thank you both so much. This is really exciting. And Carrie, again, Nurture Nature Center is one of my favorite places in the Valley for the work that you're doing. Thank you for that, and we congratulate you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I've been Kate Scuffle. You've been listening to WDIY 88.1 FM Lehigh Valley Public Radio. And I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Arts Salon. Thank you. you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.